Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At 12:18, we're going to get your opinion on something we've been asking a couple experts over the last couple days here on 106.7 The Fan. Clarence Hill, who covers the Cowboys, was on the show yesterday. Jason LaConfora, who covers the NFL, was on Chad Dukes versus the World. They both gave their opinions on the NFC East pecking order. As of right now, with offseason moves having been made by each team, Dallas has been extremely quiet, though. How would you rank the NFC East right now, and where do the Redskins come in that order? We'll get into that coming up in about 12 minutes. Right now, though, we'll kick off our Beltway Blitz on the gridiron. Teams in town you care the most about, jam-packed into one segment. Ben Standig of the Sports Capital covers the Redskins. Ben, where would you slot the Redskins into the East right now? How would you go 1 through 4 with a power ranking?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was just thinking about that as you posed that. I mean, it's hard to got to still put the Eagles number one based on what we just watched. But after that, I mean, you know, the Giants, I still don't understand how the Giants were as bad as they were last year, but the Eli situation doesn't seem like it's going to be any better. And the Redskins only really need, like, I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl contender, but they need, like, you know, one, like, tell me what they're doing at guard. Maybe tell me they're going to draft a pass rusher in the first round. And I could see them being second right now because, like you said, Dallas, I don't know what they're doing. They still need playmakers on offense, I think, to go with Zeke and Dez. So I guess I would put the Redskins second, but that, and maybe then Dallas third, Giants fourth. That doesn't mean I think the Redskins are automatically in the playoffs, but just in terms of the division, yeah, I go Redskins second, I think.
Ben Standing, the pride of UMBC, the fact that they're going forward with an offer to Pernell McPhee, does that lessen the likelihood that Hankins gets a big offer from them, and does it spell even further doom potentially for Junior Gallette?
Well, I would think the Junior Gallette part, it would seem to be a shot across the bow there, like, hey, you know, we're looking to move on. I guess my only thing with the Hankins is, do they have, like, just a certain amount of money that they're giving to somebody would be the question. I mean, I like Hankins a lot, but they definitely need another pass rusher on the outside, considering Trent Murphy's gone and it looks like Gallette's out. So you can make an interesting argument for either guy, at least in terms of the need. I mean, I would probably sense that most people would argue Hankins is better at this point, but yeah, you can make an argument for either need. And the fact that I keep having them projected to take a defensive lineman in round one would make me think maybe you want to find a veteran edge rusher in free agency.
So you mentioned pass rusher earlier in this conversation. Are you quantifying that as a pocket collapser in the interior as a defensive lineman as well, or do you mean they might take someone standing up coming off the edge to help them, and who might that look like?
Yeah, you know, yeah, right. I am probably saying more of a defensive lineman who can help collapse the pocket, something, you know, they didn't really have much last year. I mean, I you know, between Daron Payne and Vita Vey, that's kind of where I've been looking at them in the draft. So for me, it sort of stands there. You can, I guess, make an argument for a guy like Marcus Davenport. You know, Roquan Smith maybe is an edge rusher, but he obviously is a big playmaker in the middle. And since Zach Brown's contract is not exactly, you know, they could get out of it basically after 1 year from what I can tell. So they could still make a play there and maybe even use him on the outside a little bit in year one. But, yeah, I mean, something in the front seven to me is where I would continue to go. Nothing they've done in free agency would have me think otherwise.
Ben, we appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Let's talk Brian McNally and talk a little puck. NHL.com Caps beat reporter Brian, last night Alex Ovechkin scored the 44th goal of his season. He is on pace for another Rocket Richard trophy. One goal up on Patrick Laine, got hit with a puck last night, left the ice. What do you think it would mean to Ovechkin to score 50 and to win the Rocket Richard a season after tying TJ Oshie for the team lead with, and I'm going to use the word just because it's Ovechkin, just 33 goals.
Yeah, it shows the what our bar is for Ovechkin, right? Grant, he has 33. Most guys, that's a career year. Ovechkin has it, and you start wondering if he's heading downhill and it's all over. Yep. I think for him to do it in that sense, he said it himself, Grant. He said it would mean a lot. It would be, I think he'd be the oldest guy to do it, or at least the oldest, you know, the first guy in a long time to get to 50 at his age. It means a lot to him. He kind of dedicated himself in the offseason to get back to this level. If he can score 50, he's on pace, Grant, at 3-point night last night. He's on pace for 90. He hasn't had 90 points in a season since the 09-10 season. So that would be a remarkable achievement for a 32-year-old.
Brian McNally will be co-hosting Crashing the Net tomorrow night, 6:30, with Tom Daly right here on 106.7 The Fan. Your only opportunity to interact specifically about the Washington Capitals on the Washington radio dial. Brian, for the Capitals, they're 4 points clear of the Penguins in a year where many people thought this team would take a step back. Why have they not taken a step back and stayed atop the Metropolitan Division?
Well, I guess it's because where they started, Pete, they were so good the last 2 years, close to 120 points, that they could afford to take a step back and still be in the mix to win a division title. And that hasn't it doesn't hurt that the division isn't as good as it has been in recent years. The Penguins obviously are 2-time Cup champions, but they're not quite. They're a little more top heavy maybe than they've been recently. So the Caps didn't have to win, get 115 points to win the division. So it shows the overall depth. I mean, Philip Grubauer's play and goal made up for the fact that Braden Holtby has had a tough year by his standards. They've made some shrewd moves, bringing in some kind of lesser known defensemen to kind of stabilize things here. They went with the young rookies early in the season and developed them to the point where they were at least playable. And I think it's all, and then you add in Ovechkin, who has about 20% of their goals and is having a Hart Trophy caliber season. And you have a team that is right now in control to win the Metro. The next five games could push the Caps over the top. They have five games against Detroit, Montreal, New York, Carolina, New York twice, the Rangers. You win four of those five, you're going to be in real good shape to win the Metro. And that's, given what the Caps lost in the summer, that's an amazing thing.
That's Brian McNally of the Sports Capital, chasing 50 with Ovi. Brian, appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, pal. Brian McNally can be read not only in the Sports Capital, but, of course, on NHL.com as well. And that is what the Beltway Blitz sounds like each and every day here on Grant and Danny in the 12 o'clock hour. Right at noon, we jam-pack as many as three or four teams into a segment, depending on what's going on, to get you the latest in the teams you need to hear about. Next, what is the pecking order in the NFC East as of March 21st? If the season started today, where would the Redskins rank in your power rankings in the division? How much more work do they have to do? We'll get into that on The Fan. Grant and Danny keeping you company today as you trek around in the snow or hopefully hang out at home. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day. Pete Medhurst is in for Danny. Is this our first show together, Pete? I think we've done a couple. It's been a long time, though.
Definitely a long time ago if we have. So
I think maybe on the weekends. We've sat in, Pete, together. Yes. On like random broadcasts overnight when they make a trade to move up to get Robert Griffin.
We did do that. That's exactly right.
There have been a couple things like that, but
that was,
I don't know,
a fun
if we've
time.
Gotten to do a show together, so that's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. So the Redskins NFC East power ranking is what we want to get into. And we can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener for you guys. Phone's wide open at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Here's the question. I get that the season doesn't start tomorrow, but on a hypothetical, if rosters were being set at this moment, because they, or to the extent majorly of what they're going to look like at the end of the offseason, where do you rank the Redskins in this division right now? We asked this question of Clarence Hill, who covers the Cowboys in Dallas and has since the late 90s. Here's how he sees the East.
Well, man, I think the Eagles are still number one. I would say the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott back for 16 games, number two. Then it's the Giants and the Redskins jockeying for three and four. And I guess I'll put Redskins three and Giants four right now.
So here's how I kind of make sense of this, Pete, going team by team here. Philadelphia obviously has to be number one. They're your defending Super Bowl champions. Not only have they not gotten worse, a lot of times, look at the Ravens after their most recent Super Bowl. You win a title and you have to hit detonate because guys are going in different directions and due for raises. That has not happened in Philly. If anything, they've added a bunch of talent. On defense, I think Derek Barnett, their first-round pick last year, is going to be better this year. He's going to play more. They re-upped with Timmy Jernigan part of the way through the year on a big extension, so he's still sitting next to Fletcher Cox up front. They Brandon Graham, who was a first-round pick, broke out in the playoffs, was huge during the Super Bowl last year. He's back. Chris Long, still under contract. Haloti Ngata was signed and added to that defense. Michael Bennett has been acquired, brought over from Seattle via trade. They've only gotten better up front. Remember, they re-signed in their linebacking core Nigel Bradham, who people thought was going to leave and get paid. They still have Jordan Hicks and Michael Kendricks. So from that great defense of a year ago, they're missing basically one defensive back, and they've added a bunch up front. Offensively, they get some dude named Carson Wentz back. And I know Nick Foles rode the magical carpet all the way to the Super Bowl. That is a much better team with Carson Wentz. They can do a lot more with him. Their running back position after trading for Jay Ajayi is still locked in, where they've got him, Sproles coming back from injury, Kenyon Barner, Wendell Smallwood. I look at a team in Philly that traded Torrey Smith, added a starting player in their secondary in Daryl Worley from Carolina, as having basically either improved or stayed the same at every position. They should scare everybody in this division.
No doubt about it. And they haven't rested on their laurels and gone out and improved the ball club, especially on a defensive standpoint, because to win this division, they know, A, they're going to have to stop Ezekiel Elliott. So they've gotten better up front. And if they're going to continue to keep this division over the Cowboys, that's the main thing you've got to do. You've got to be solid there, and you've got to be solid at linebacker. And they are in that front seven right now. So it's a no-brainer. I still would like to see a better depth of pass catchers out there for Carson Wentz, but otherwise there's no other real glaring, at least glaring weakness right now as you try to expose.
What is their hole right now on that roster? I can't find one.
Maybe wide receiver depth. Maybe depth.
And the way they run their offense with their RPOs and Wentz springing the ball around to tight ends and running backs, I don't know if that's a big deal.
I will say this. I wonder how much, especially early in the season, you'll really have to acknowledge the RPO stuff, because you know Wentz is less likely maybe early in the season to be comfortable, you know, pulling it out and maybe sneaking around the backside away from you once or twice. But either way, they're still well-equipped to beat you in so many facets of the game.
So let's put them number one. We don't even need to spend much time on them because they're head and shoulders the best team in the division, coming off the Super Bowl and 13 wins. And that was an authentic 13-3. That was a circuit-to-circuit dismantling of the conference.
No question.
They were one of the best teams in football. We saw it in week one from that moment on. It was largely because of Wentz. And then they got hot at the right time with Nick Foles in the playoffs after he got hurt. The Giants are maybe the most intriguing team to me in the division for this reason. I think people forget that before the Giants were horrendous last year at 3-13, 1 year before that, they were outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
They were 11-5 under the man with the worst hair and mustache in the league, Ben McAdoo, who has now been blown out and is gone. I am a big believer in Pat Shurmur. I think he's good at coordinating offense. Not great. He's not Sean McVay or Jay Gruden or Kyle Shanahan, but I think he's top half the league in that regard. And he's very popular with players as a leader of men type. His only job before this was Cleveland. And like everyone else who comes from Cleveland, the assumption is that he's not a very good coach because of that. So I look at the Giants. I think they got better on the sidelines. I like their coaching staff better. They are healthier. And their biggest issue over the last couple years has been their offensive line. They have had a horrendous O-line. They signed Nate Solder to a record amount of money at left tackle, a massive upgrade. They have added a new starting left guard coming over from Jacksonville in free agency. Their center was one of their strengths in the second half of last year. They'll keep with Brett Jones there. Their right guard, John Jerry, not awesome, but was not a problem last year. And my guess is that they're still going to upgrade at right tackle, where they've got Bisnowate, the sixth-round player from last year who ended up started at the end of the season. I bet you they draft a starting right tackle and or sign another guy that competes there. But the point is they've upgraded three of those five spots on the O-line where they stunk. They brought in Jonathan Stewart. Don't love him, but at least he'll help them a little bit in short yardage and on the goal line. My guess is all of this equals to Eli Manning being better, because the biggest point here, Odell Beckham Jr. back healthy. Scariest weapon maybe on offense in this division, and he wasn't there for the last three quarters of last year.
Yeah, and we wonder what, obviously, if anything becomes of the latest video and pictures that have surfaced of him with his off-field exploits. Are they the team that lost to the Eagles by three and to the Eagles by five, to the Chargers by five, beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Are they that team? Are they closer to that squad? Or are they closer to the one that got beat by the Rams 51-17, dominated by the Cowboys late in the year by a score of 30-10, dominated by the Cardinals 23-0? Which team are they? Which one are they closer to?
I think the former, because those other things you're mentioning, most of those were when the McAdoo thing was at its end and everyone knew he was about to get fired and it was a circus, remember? We've seen that here in Washington.
Do you really believe Eli Manning has a lot left in the tank? Because to be better than the three other teams in the division, he has got to be significantly better in this offense, has got to be significantly better. And your faith in Shurmur is well thought out, and certainly he's well thought of around the league, but he's got to go out and do it.
Yeah.
He's got to go out and show us that you can do this again. I'm not sure if they are overall as equipped right now to do it. You suspect Dallas, with having Elliott for 16 games, is going to be better. You have to like what the Redskins have done, at least for now.
Let's get into those two teams in a minute. I want to stick with the Giants.
Right. So I'm saying, where can they make the biggest stride to knock on the door of those other clubs?
I think it's offensive personnel. So go back to the end of last season, right? Eli Manning is playing behind probably the worst offensive line in the league from a personnel standpoint. Not only were they bad, but they were injured. On top of that, in his receiving core, he was throwing to Travis Rudolph and Roger Lewis and Keon Johnson. I mean, a bunch of dudes I'd never heard of. Now you've got Beckham back. You've got Brandon Marshall back healthy. Those two guys on the outside, I don't think Marshall has a ton left. I don't think that's a great receiving core because there's still not a lot of depth, but it's better, and the line is better. So I think Eli Manning will play at an average NFL level this year. I don't view the Giants as a playoff team. I think they're 8-8, but I'm higher on them than, say, Jason Lockenfora, who was on Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday. And here's what he said when Chad asked him about the division, and he set his sights on New York.
We're going to see at least two quarterbacks go in the first three. I don't believe the Giants are going to take one. I think they are fooling themselves into believing they've got this Eli window where if we just add a blue chipper to Eli to go with Alec Ogletree and a couple of dudes we overpaid, then all is well. I don't think that will actually be how things turn out in regards to their standings.
So he's not big on what they've done. Alec Ogletree, who I like a lot at linebacker. By the way, they overpaid Olivier Vernon. That's kind of worked out. They overpaid Damon Snacks Harrison. That kind of worked out. A lot of people thought they overpaid for Janoris Jenkins when he came in. That kind of worked out. They built their defense into a legit contender. They played at a championship level two seasons ago, and then last year stunk up the joint. And I think some of that was kind of a sum of all fears. I've seen it with the Redskins. Our coach is a joke. We're a laughingstock. He's getting fired. It's November, and I don't really care anymore kind of season. I'm not telling you they're a playoff team, but I think they're going from 3-13 to like 8-8.
Think they're going to make that big of a jump?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to, they've done it so many times before that you can never really count that team out. I'd be surprised if they were, I'd say I'd be shocked if they were 6-10 or worse.
If they're not taking a quarterback, like he says, does that mean they're taking Barkley? Because if they're taking Barkley,
oh man,
if they're taking Barkley, I can get on board with how they could improve 5-6 games in the division, because I do have questions about Orleans Darkwood being able to do it on a consistent basis. I like Wayne Gallman, the kid they took out of Clemson, still just 23 years old, and I think has a chance. But if they take Barkley, then that takes a lot of the pressure off of Eli Manning to be exceptional. I think Eli Manning has to be exceptional right now for them to make that kind of a jump, and I just don't know if that's still there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he has that in him. I'll say this. How about this? If they draft Saquon Barkley, I think they go over 500 and maybe make a wild card. I think they're that good if they can add that dynamic of player on offense, because their defense, Jason Pierre-Paul, Harrison, Tomlinson, Vernon up front, Ogletree, Goodson, Casillas, mediocre linebacking core that improved a lot, and a very good secondary. Eli Apple's not going to be the disaster he was this past year. Jenkins is very good. Landon Collins is my favorite defensive player in the division. We talked about that yesterday. They got players. They have talent. They hated playing for their coach last year. I don't think we can underscore that enough. We haven't talked Redskins or Cowboys yet. Dallas, who's got a full season of Ezekiel Elliott, what does that mean for them? Last time that was the case, they won 13 games, went into the playoffs with a bye, and then Washington, which has made a change at quarterback, and made a bunch of smaller moves in free agency. So we will finish our breakdowns team by team, and then we'll give our rankings 1 through 4 of the NFC East. We'll also take your calls if you've got them. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, man, I think the Eagles are still number one. I would say the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott back for 16 games, number two. Then it's the Giants and the Redskins jockeying for 3 and 4. And I guess I'll put Redskins 3 and Giants 4 right now.
Clarence Hill covers the Cowboys, ranking the NFC East team's current pecking order. What is it? That's the question. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Pete's in for Danny. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've talked about the Eagles and the Giants. The Cowboys get Ezekiel Elliott back, and that is critical because without him, they weren't the same last year, and primarily quarterback Dak Prescott was not the same last year. Tied directly to that is, what are you going to get out of Dak Prescott? Rookie year, sensational. One of the better rookie seasons we'd ever seen in the National Football League in terms of protecting the football, making big plays to win games, and garnering his team to a prolific record. Completed 68% of his passes and had a quarterback rating of, in that first year, well over 100 at about 105. Last year, completion percentage dropped down towards 60. He was barely over 3,000 yards in 16 games, which is hard to do. 22 touchdowns and 13 picks. Just not a lot of movement of the football for him. 86 rating. They need him to be a lot better. Getting Elliott back is the easy pass for him to improving his play. But is he a franchise passer? Is he a guy that is a Super Bowl-worthy QB at some point? Is he a guy you build your entire program around? He plays like he did last year again. We're going to be asking that question at the end of the season. Jason Witten, one of his top weapons, is a year older, and Fox is recruiting him to come to the broadcast booth. Dude was drafted in 2003. That's 15 years ago now, Pete. Dez Bryant can't separate, can't explode anymore off the line of scrimmage. They may lose Bryce Butler in free agency, who's taking visits right now, which means as of potentially cutting Bryant, you'd have Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, and what else? And that's on offense, which is their strength. Defensively, they're going to be meh. You got to keep Sean Lee healthy to have any chance to be good. I'm not high on Dallas this year.
Sean Lee, yes. Chris Collins was his favorite player. Look, to get to the Giants where you just mentioned, where you think the Giants, if they got Barkley, could be an above 500 team. For that to happen, that has to be at the expense of somebody else. The question is, are the Eagles going to come back a little bit? We don't believe that to be the case based on their performance and the additions they've made. And the Redskins, again, could be in the mix in that 500 area, maybe a game ahead if they steal a game or two here and there. The question with the Cowboys is simply this. Is Dez Bryant done being a high-level pass catcher for this team? If that's the case, they are in major trouble from an offensive standpoint because you then just stack the box. Ezekiel Elliott in the 10 games he played was down to 4.1 per carry last year. That certainly has to, even with that offensive line, that to me is as much of an indictment about the lack of ability on the outside for them to make plays, the quarterback's maybe inability still at this point to elevate guys outside to make plays at this point in his career, and the fact that even when Elliott was playing, clearly I don't think it was a 100% Ezekiel Elliott at all playing last year for the Dallas Cowboys because he had missed so much time. So when he did play, I still don't think you had the full effect of Ezekiel Elliott out there is based on his 4.1 yards per carry situates. But I think that's also a major indictment on the guys they have on the outside. And if you can't make plays in the passing game, an NFL defense can hone in on a running back and at least keep him somewhat contained. You're never going to stop a great back like Elliott all the time, but you can keep him from dominating a football game as teams were able to do at times last year at 4.1 per carry. And if that's the case, then Dallas, in my mind, has major issues trying to score enough points, especially to dethrone a team like the Eagles.
And especially with the defense that they've built, because they lack guys that scare you on that side of the ball. And the Redskins, if they have a problem on defense, it's that they've got some really good players, but not enough special players. Who scares you on Dallas's defense? Tank Lawrence up front is it. And DeMarcus Lawrence, who's a one-hit wonder at this point, they just tagged him to hope that he can repeat last season. He had an amazing year. But outside of him...
I mean, Hitchens signed in Kansas City,
right?
So he's gone.
He left.
You're hoping that Jalen Smith maybe is now getting closer to the form that he exhibited at Notre Dame before the knee injury.
Good
now
luck.
Now that he's gotten through 16 games, you know. But again, that's a huge if
Major
for
question.
This defense right now.
Look at their secondary, though. Who in that secondary is really good? I mean, right now they're projected starters. At corner, they've got Jordan Lewis on the left side, Chidobe Awuzie on the right side. In the nickel, they've got Anthony Brown. Safety is made up of Byron Jones and Xavier Woods. They got late-round picks as their backups. That is not a good defense. They have to score points. Is Dak Prescott a quarterback that's going to allow you to score a lot of points?
Not without weapons.
Not with the weapons they've got around him. Beasley's good in the slot. Williams is a, I would say, at best, average number two, probably a hair below average.
Drops
Dez
too many
Bryant
passes for
is
me.
Not a number one anymore. He's not. He does not separate from anybody. Their big play threat of last year, Bryce Butler, may not be back, and I'm still not convinced Jason Witten's going to be on that team. I'm down on them, and I guess I can give a little hint on my rankings. They're last for me, sub-500 in the division.
Wow.
We'll get to that in a second. I'll have the Redskins third. Quarterback swap is close to a wash in terms of the production you're going to get. I think you get a little bit worse Cousins to Smith because of the fact that they throw it as much as they do. If you were Kansas City and you could operate a run-first or very balanced offense, then that's a whole different story. Smith protects the football more than Cousins and runs around more, and you could say he's an upgrade in your offense. But based on how they're going to have to move the ball, it's probably a small step back, but it's basically a swap. I think the fact that I like their health a lot more. There's no way they're going to be as banged up as they were last year. That was the first time in probably 10 years I saw them that injured. Just based on that, I think they are a little bit better off. Keeping Zach Brown's huge. They've gotten worse in their secondary, losing Breland and Fuller. They've got to upgrade still there. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to. And they need to add another defensive lineman. If they can get either Hankins or, let's say, Vita Vea at 13 and then get a running back in the second round, I think they're about what they were on paper last year, but you get healthier, you get a little luckier, and your record's a little better. So here's my rankings in the division. Eagles 12-4, Giants 9-7, second. I think they do draft Saquon Barkley and stay put at 2. Redskins 3rd, 8-8, and I have the Cowboys 4th, 7-9. I wanted to make them 6-10, but I'm going to hedge a little bit. So I'll go Eagles run away with it with 12 wins. Giants, one of the surprises in football, go 9-7, bounce back. Redskins smack dab at 500 or third, and the Cowboys are sub-500 pulling up the rear.
Are you going to sit here and confidently tell me Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson are going to be available for 13 of 16 games?
Thompson will play
at least
13.
That's all I'm asking
13.
For. I'm asking for 13 yeah. games from Jordan Reed.
Thompson will play 13-plus. Reed, I would have at 11 or 12. I'll take under 13.
See, I think the difference here is I think Washington – is much more equipped. If we're going to have Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson for a decent amount of games, I think the Redskins are definitely a team that can get to 9-7 or 10-6 in the division with a lot more clarity than Dallas and the Giants, at least as they're constructed right now, whether teams make a trade or something later on from what we're talking about today. I think the Redskins at least are a safer pick for 9-7 or 10-6 right now than are the Cowboys in the Giants, which is why I'm willing to put Washington ahead of New York right now, because I'll take Alex Smith over the current version of Eli Manning 100 times out of 100.
Let me ask you this. Is there a chance? I look at Eli Manning like you do as a guy who struggled last year, and we got to be quick here, but don't you think a big part of Eli Manning last year was the offensive line play in front of him? He was not nearly as – when you watch those games – he didn't have a chance. It didn't matter who was quarterbacking. That offensive line for most weeks was the worst in football.
You're asking a lot, I think, of this particular player physically over 16 games right now based on what I saw of him last year. Granted, part of it, yes, is about what's going on around him, but there were other times, Grant, where he looked completely lost out there as a player.
I think he did that in the prime of his career, though. I think he did that the years he was winning Super Bowls. He threw 20-plus interceptions a couple times, like in 2008 still too much,
but, to 2010. Even with a new coaching staff, and obviously new players that you're going to have to build in there, there's still too many questions for me to confidently say that this team's going to go from 3 wins to 9 wins right away.
I'm just talking specific to Eli. He threw 20 picks in 07. He was intercepted 25 times in 2010. He was intercepted 27 times in 2013 with just 18 touchdowns. He's always had, what are you doing, dummy, in his game. That's part of it. He just gets hot at the right time,
I still think there's question as to whether Odell Beckham is going to be around. You can't guarantee he's going to be around for 14 to 16 games for the Giants as well. And I think that's absolutely critical to them getting to the place that you think they can get to.
Yeah, if he doesn't play 15 or 16 games, there's no way they can do what I'm predicting them to do.
I do believe they can make a jump if they draft Barkley. There's no doubt about that.
And I think that they will if they stay put. If they get a King's ransom at 2, they'd be dumb not to take it, though. If they could move back from 2 to 12 and Buffalo trades some kind of Robert Griffin-esque package,
agree.
They'd better take that deal.
So I don't believe Philly is as good as a 13-win team. They made a huge jump last year. I'll go with 12 wins for them. I'll go with 10 for Washington.
Wow.
I'll go
it's like the fourth time they've done that since the Super Bowl years.
I will go 8-8 for the Cowboys, and I got the Giants at 7-9. I just have to see it with Eli Manning in charge right now.
I got to double click on the Redskins winning 10 games, which rarely happens, and why you're so confident. They've lost more talent than they've gained this offseason, and they won 7 games last year. So we'll get into that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson for EMP 180 Weight Losses. We're talking about losses, right? Well, how about these weight losses? I am down over 70 pounds. Danny is down over 40 pounds. And I met a listener, came in studio, took some pictures with me the other day. He's down 30 pounds in 3 months, and dude is legitimately ripped. He had abs and pecs. I'm going, wait a second. Why are you on EMP 180 weight loss? Well, he just wanted to tighten up. He wanted to get on his game and learn about nutrition. That's the cool thing. There's programs for everyone. You need to lose stubborn 10, 12 pounds, fine. Need to make a life change like me or else you're going to be having type 2 diabetes and problems. That's great, too. They'll work with you. EMP 180 weight loss. They got an office in Tyson's. They got an office in Rockville as well. So which either of the two you go to, their staff, they got people who are going to coach you up, put you on a scale, and each and every week help you make smart, healthy, good decisions as to what you're putting in your body. Go to emp180weightloss.com or call them at 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. We were just ranking teams in the NFC East as to how we would see them finishing up the season. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Pete in for Danny today. I went Eagles, Giants, Redskins, Cowboys in that order. Philly with 12 wins, the Giants 9-7, the Redskins 8-8, the Cowboys 7-9. When Pete ran through his NFC East pecking order, he had the Redskins not only finishing second behind the Eagles, but he had them winning 10 games. Now, Pete, that jumped out at me for a couple of reasons.
Here's my reasoning. I do believe that the quarterback will not necessarily throw for as many yards as the previous one did, but I also don't believe he'll be giving away possessions. I think you'll get maybe an extra field goal a game from the type of quarterback that Alex Smith is. I think the points will go up for this team. Gambling, of course, at the running back situation will not be as inconsistent as it was last year, and that's a legitimate gamble. But like Jay, you could hear Jay yesterday just giddy with the fact that, look, if I get Jordan Reed back in this lineup and if I have Chris Thompson available in my lineup, I believe that we've got a team that can score more points consistently again this year, just as they did last year. I also believe when I look around the rest of the division, I don't necessarily think it's the fact that because the Redskins, as you mentioned, lost quality personnel in Breland, we believe they've lost a potentially better than average corner in Fuller. What we've seen of him, certainly we like. But I do believe keeping guys in the fold like Foster and Brown, you're not introducing new guys to a new system. You're keeping guys in the system, which gives you defensive consistency. And I do believe that there's a legitimate chance that they add somebody like Vea. You get Jonathan Allen for more games this year. And if you do, that defense, for everything that will be maybe an issue, especially early in the season until you find out who can play in that secondary, you will be better up front because you'll have Allen. You may have a Vea or somebody of that caliber in there as well. And based on what I feel will be lack of production from two other teams in the division is why I think Washington can get to 10 games. Not necessarily saying it's a great improvement on their part, but as you mentioned with the Giants, to get to 9 wins, there has to be give back from somewhere else.
Right.
And I think we're both counting on that coming from the Cowboys.
Yeah, we're both not very high on Dallas, and I think correctly so. I guess when I hear 10 wins for the Redskins as a prediction, it always surprises me because you're working against the numbers. You're working against history. 22 of the last 25 seasons, they've been unable to do that. They have won 10 games or more, and they've never won more, so I'll just say they've won 10 games 3 times since they last won a Super Bowl when I was in diapers. That is a number that is very hard for them to get to, and a lot of things have to go right. Now, to your point, if they draft a defensive lineman at 13, Pete, I'm with you. I think their defense is a lot better. Because you do get Jonathan Allen back, and whoever that guy is, let's say it is Vita Vea, you got a chance to stop the run, and it's something they haven't been able to do the last few seasons. I know that there are still some concerns internally about Allen with that Liz Frank coming back, being 100%, having the sophomore season they were banking on. But among the places they've gotten worse, to me, are two of the most important positions on a football field. Pass rusher, where they've lost Murphy, 9 sacks 2 years ago, Gallette, their third best rusher last season. And they haven't replaced either of those guys yet. I understand it's March 21st, but they need to do that until I can feel better or say they're going to win 10 games or 9 games. And in the secondary, Bashaud Breeland at times was a really good cornerback. Most of the time, he was a solid cornerback. But he is a legitimate number two in this league. He gone. Kendall Fuller last year was the best nickel corner in this conference and maybe in the National Football League for much of the season. There were weeks where he was their best defensive back as graded out in the meeting room. Here you go. They've replaced him with Orlando Scandrick, who's not as good. They're replacing Breeland with a guy in Quentin Dunbar, a receiver a few years ago, who's never been asked to follow around starting wide receivers in this league. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm telling you, it's a big risk. They need Josh Norman to be better than he was in the first couple years of this contract in terms of actually intercepting passes, making plays, scoring points. And on offense, they haven't done anything to address the running back situation. Their wide receiver position is better because Richardson's an upgrade over Grant, I think. But at quarterback, Smith is a dependent guy, and they'd better be able to help him with a running game. I'm looking for Jay Gruden's run successes. I love the guy. He was awesome on the show yesterday. We thank him for coming on. Go to thefandc.com to see the interview we did with him on Grant and Danny. But even in Cincinnati, they have never been able to run the ball. He's a great passing game coordinator. If Alex Smith is quarterbacking an offense that can't run the ball, it's not going to end very well. They have to be balanced.
Well, Andy Dalton was able to do that with an offense that wasn't necessarily run heavy, but
he was able to put up numbers, but they didn't win.
Did a lot to help. They were more of a playoff team then, at least contending for the postseason, than they are now with Jay not there coordinating the offense. Plus, you have Chris Thompson back in the role of Giovanni Bernard, which is something that obviously Jay loves within the offense. He only played 10 games. Jordan Reed only played 6 games last year.
True.
So if
did you hear what Jay said about him yesterday?
I thought Jay was just going to explode all over him.
I mean, he said, no, that guy there, he's the difference maker, and it's something we already know.
You asked him, you said, look, Jay, I need somebody on third and six. It's going to go 7 yards
right,
and catch the ball. And he goes, that's Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
That's Jordan Reed.
And he's right. If Jordan Reed plays a full season.
They won 7 games with Jordan Reed playing 6.
Right.
That's in 10 games of having Reed, or even if you get 8 more games out of Reed, say 3 more out of Thompson. There's not potentially
you're still
2 more
about
wins
their
in
their offense. The whole story with the Redskins is how much better is their defense going to be. And this second, they've lost more than they have gained on the defensive side of the ball from what was the 28th ranked defense.
But I'm also
the last
but I'm
years.
Also willing to gamble based on what I've seen of them as college players that Nicholson, Moreau, and yes, I know he's been hurt multiple times, but when he's been healthy, Josh Holsey was a very competent player at corner in the SEC. I know it doesn't matter. It was his 7th round pick because he'd had multiple injuries.
That's fine,
but
he still had multiple
injuries.
Think, he's done nothing in the league.
I'm gambling. I'm gambling that you're going to get some production out of those guys.
They need all 3 of those guys you just named to be really good if they're going to make a big step forward. Because I don't think, based on the Gruden combo yesterday, they're going to spend any more money on the secondary.
No, I mean, look. If Orlando Scandrick is your third corner playing in the slot. I mean, he's a guy that can go, he can be versatile and play out or in right now. But you mentioned Quentin Dunbar. Everybody else wants to point to Quentin Dunbar. Breeland's gone, they can put Quentin Dunbar in there. I'm with you. I'm always concerned that you've got a guy that's converted from another position
right,
that's now being asked to play one of the toughest positions
every snap.
In the National Football League, every snap. Absolutely. I'm with you in terms of that. I'm not quite as high where everybody just jumps in. Oh, Quentin Dunbar can go right in there and play.
And I love what
that.
I've seen from him. Like, people take that as, what don't you like? He's been awesome. Yeah, as the third or fourth guy
right.
who's been pressed
Correct.
Into duty for
Absolutely
series
right.
at a time, he's been great.
Got to see it for a full season where you're
down
the guy
in
opposite.
And down out.
Because guess what? They're gonna pick on him.
Absolutely.
At nauseam
I
this
can either
year.
Throw it at Josh Norman, or I can send someone in motion and get my best receiver on Quentin Dunbar
but
for 33
to your
snaps.
Point, to your point, teams weren't afraid to throw at Josh Norman last year.
No. Well, he was not going to make a play to beat you. I mean, he is good to take receivers away still. He can do that, absolutely. He's great against guys like Dez Bryant. If you lack some explosiveness and some of the burst to get down the field and you're just a big-bodied guy who boxes dudes out, Josh Norman will put the shackles on you until tomorrow. You're not catching a pass. But look at that Chargers game.
Right.
When you start to take on some burners who can run some double moves, and this is most corners in the league, he's going to get beat.
And that's Phillip Rivers, too. You're talking
Absolutely.
About better-than-average competent quarterback. But I'm with you. Yes, there are questions there. But I'm also gambling based on what I've seen of those guys. I think the potential of Nicholson, Moreau especially, I think both of them have the opportunity and the chance to be better, even better now this coming year. I will be intrigued to see how they're used in this secondary right now. But
the
I believe both
coaches
of them
love those guys.
Right.
For whatever
right.
that's worth.
Especially Nicholson.
Yeah.
I think Nicholson probably I think Nicholson was one of those high risk, high reward guys I thought when they drafted him. I think at Michigan State, based on size and everything, I think there was something there. But based on the consistency of production at Michigan State, there was definitely questions. But I think he performed above maybe even what they thought he would give them right away.
Nicholson, to me, has a chance to end up being a Pro Bowler. He's got that type of speed and ability on the back end. But it's all potential until we see him stay healthy. And
Jordan Reed played six games, Grant. They won seven.
True. That's one player at the tight end position. If tight ends let you win Super Bowls, Antonio Gates and the Chargers would have won a few over the years. Grant and Danny on the Fan. No Danny. Pete Medhurst is in today hanging out. Let's talk a little Ryan Zimmerman next. It's been such a weird spring training for him. What is going on? And is Zim going to be himself to be able to repeat last year for the Nationals? That's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.